Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 17, 2020. New Life 1159. The Law of Nature.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the Israeli constitution. To this day, Israel has no constitution. We'd like to understand, should we have one? If so, what should it include? It's going to be really interesting. Be with us, Nitza, please.
Yeah,
like you mentioned, up until now, a formal constitution was not yet formulated in Israel. Over time, different basic laws were legislated, 13 all in all, and each such law has to do with a specific realm, whether it's the parliament, the president, the army, and so on. And it especially has to do with the rights and obligations of citizens in the country. And these laws, they kind of direct our policies, government, and so on. And today, what we'd like to find out is, first of all, it's really interesting. Other countries, they have constitutions. One of the constitutions that many take an example from is the American Constitution. So what do you think about this, that Israel has no formal constitution? What for? Should we have one? I don't know. First of all, I see that we're living without a constitution. So first of all, you can live without a constitution. It's not something that you can't live without. This is one thing. And another thing is, what happens with the constitutions in other countries? Does it help them somehow? I think that it gives a certain direction, gives you the general laws, margins. You know, usually it's written in such a way that you can twist and turn it in any direction you want. It shows how humanitarian a country is, cultural, culturized, educated, and so on and so forth, that it's somewhere there above everyone else. And that's how each of them is. Meaning, there's nothing more to it than false representativeness. And that's it. I remember when I lived in Russia, I lived there until I was about 25 or 6. Afterwards, I moved to Lithuania, and after 4 years there, I came to Israel. So in Russia, everyone was really boasting about the constitution that they have that's the most progressive and unique and really more advanced than all other countries and nations. And compared to how things really were there, it was terrible. Dictatorship, fear, limitations, zero freedom, and so on. So, what if there's a constitution? So, there are two things here. First of all, there is a constitution, but eventually, in practice, something completely different is happening. What is a constitution? Were we to know the foundations of nature, the foundations of human society by nature, not according to what we feel like, then, from that, we would determine what's good for us to advance to, what should we do, and then really, we would have been in a state where we need a constitution. Because I know who I am today, and what should I get to? How should I become according to the laws of nature? What does knowing the laws of nature have to do with the Constitution? What do I need a Constitution for then? A constitution is the general, global, most comprehensive plan that includes the entire essence of our life as a nation or a country or a collection of nations. It's like a roadmap. Yeah, but if I don't know, what do I have to come to? And I make a kind of a salad out of it. That, yeah, it seems to me that this is good, or maybe that would be good. And I think that this is the way to get there, and this is the way to bring this constitution closer to reality, to bring myself closer to the constitution. In short, we have a complete, fundamental lack of understanding about everything. We don't know what human society is, what human nature is, what society has to advance toward by nature. We don't know, but we see, you know, we live our life. And no one knows what's going to happen in a moment. No one knows what form will our society or our country or any other society or country in the world will get in 10 years or 100 years or 1,000 years. So how can we write a constitution? A constitution is like above time and space and motion and above everything. We human beings, can we do that? We're making fun of ourselves. So in order to write a constitution that will really serve us and advance society, and society in general, not only in Israel, you're talking about an international constitution, if I understand correctly. I'm talking about the concept of the constitution. So what does this constitution have to understand, know about? Human nature, the nature of society, the nature of the world, and how these three things, man, society, and the world, how do they all unfold according to what laws, general laws of nature, that it's not that we live our life as we please, but we're inside a certain system, which is the system of nature, with its laws, with its constitution, and this is the constitution that I have to know, the constitution of nature, that it doesn't depend on me. But it's above me because I was already born and I developed and I exist in it. And how will I suddenly now sit down and write one thing or another because this is how I feel like doing this or that according to my current understanding, my current intellect. Even if I write something today, tomorrow it won't work. How can I know? It's so foolish that humanity is writing it, but it's written in order to show off to each other that we're such an enlightened nation. We shed light upon everyone, upon mankind. We show the path. Simple rubbish. So, what we said up until now is that you see no rationale in writing a constitution for Israel. Before we know and understand and study all of the laws of nature and accept them and discover them and see all these things, before that, we have no justified reason to even think that we know what a constitution is. Meaning, who are we? What are we? In what way and toward what are we advancing? That's one thing. Another thing is, suppose after these things become revealed to me, the constitution of nature, the assembly of laws and states, conditions from nature, then there's no point in writing anything. This is what I have to write. Meaning, all in all, we have to learn the laws, study the laws of nature. Does nature have some basic laws or principles? Please, come study the wisdom of Kabbalah and learn. What is human nature? What is nature in general? how they affect one another, how are they advancing from the beginning and to the end of history. And this is the constitution. So it's an absolute constitution that belongs to everyone, includes everyone. And no one can undermine it. In simple words, let's try and write it. The First Amendment. The First Amendment is that nature is one force, not two or three, or it doesn't matter how many. And all of us are in it. And this means what? The name of this law is called There is None Else Besides Him. Okay, that's the first basic law. What does this mean, actually? That there's no other authority besides nature, in which we all are, and it determines everything. Our thoughts, desires of each and every one of us in all times, in all cases, and whatever happens in the past, present, and future. How the recognition of this law that, let's call it, none else besides him, this one law, how does it affect the order inside the country, the relationship between a citizen and the country on all levels? First of all, that at least I won't try to write a constitution myself, at least that. So that's good, that we don't have a constitution here in Israel is actually good then. It's not by chance. Okay, and so we understand that there's a basic law called none else besides him. So that compels me. If that's true, it compels me. And everyone in the world has to know about this basis. Why is it important for everyone to know about it? Because if above me and above you and above him and above everyone, there's one force that controls and rules and governs everything, then that already determines something in regard to us, or not. Well, if I try to think about this, it means that there is one law that controls us all, including what you're going to think, including what I'm going to say now. Yeah? So there's this one force, which is a superior law that unites all people in the world, regardless of your culture or country. Yeah, it's all determined by this law. It's all included in it. This law says that there's no culture, education, thoughts, desires, actions as a result, anywhere in the world. If we're talking about people or animals or plants or distill, anything that we can say something about, we can say that this thing is a result of that law, that there is none else besides him, that there is one force that holds everything inside it and works on each and every detail without asking anyone. Just to try and understand on the practical, political level, because we really want to see how does it dress on the constitution of a country, for example. What does a country need a constitution for? Everyone has to take from that law all the results, outcomes, and to know how to equalize with that law, because it's general and it affects everyone, down to the last part of reality, to the last detail. And if we implement, realize it already, there's nothing left to do then. What do you mean? We're integrated in this law and this upper force in terms of our consciousness, desire, behavior, recognition. We are actually 100% identifying with it. And that means that we keep the Constitution. We said that we can't sit and envision some constitution and write it down. But we have to learn the system of laws that we exist in, which is the system of nature, and then when we understand how the laws of nature work, then it will be clear to us that this is the constitution of reality. That's beyond time, space, motion, everything. I said, great, let's try and write these laws down. What's the first bullet? You said that nature is one force. Now, how does this project on our life? A constitution is something that determines our way of living, how we behave in society and the country. From this first paragraph or item in the constitution that nature is one law, what can we deduce from here for the life of a country? I don't know, life of a country, but a constitution is something determined by a country. No, this is the constitution of nature, not of a country or a nation or anything else. As if every group will also say that they have a need for a constitution of their own. I don't relate to that. I come from the perspective of nature, and not from the perspective of humanity that invents different things. That's clear. I want to ask. People have to come to know the constitution of nature, and the first paragraph is that nature is one law. Why is that important for people to know? Because if I don't want to be wrong in life, and to go against that one force, that acts, that works, then I have to understand, acknowledge that it works in all parts of reality, in me and around me and everything. And then, what are the implications? That before I think, before I do, act, I take into account that I am in this one force, under this one force, and if I don't identify with it, then I cause harm to myself and to others. And then, that one law acts in order to correct my deviation, the deviation that I have caused. And from that, I start feeling that there are different negative influences from different directions working on me in order to bring me back to balance. Okay. What comes to mind is, if I look at Muslims, or Jews, or anyone who thinks that there is really one force, monotheism, one God, what's the difference between what you're saying and what they say? I don't know, and I don't want to know. I don't want to get confused with what humanity has invented, and all different religions and beliefs, that there are more than 3,000 different kinds of different beliefs and religions and so on. Coming from the initial perception of there being one force or one God, not necessarily there are those that believe in many gods, but I'm referring to monotheism. What's the difference between the none else besides him that you're talking about? No, you can say that there's none else besides him in Islam, and certainly in Judaism, whereas in Christianity there's already mixed with big additions of their saints, and so on. What I want to say is that the fact that nature is one and that there is one force operating in everything, this force is a person in order not to be mistaken in life, to acknowledge, come to know that one force that operates in nature, and all the time to be in equivalence and connection with it. Meaning that my entire life has to be directed so that that one force will work on me without me interfering, standing in its way. And so here we're coming to paragraph 2, that in order to come to know this one acting force, none else besides him, then there is another opposite force that as if there is something besides, none else besides him, that appears in me, so that precisely by these two forces, I will scrutinize that there is none else besides him, that there is just one force that's acting and not two. That the other force appears in me in different forms to deflect me from seeing that there is none else besides him. In order to confuse me. And precisely through these confusions, I come to know that there is none else besides him, that there is just one force, and that the other force is called helpmate against him. It has a name? The evil inclination. It's also called an angel. That it does everything in order for me to get confused, because from this confusion I will come to know this one force, that it's really one, that there is none else besides him, the good that does good, that's it. So, law number one, none else besides him. Law number two, that there is an opposite force to it, the evil inclination that helps it. That is as if opposite to it. It's not that it really works against it, but it works, acts, in order for me to learn about the first force of none else besides him, from its opposite, from the negative, from a thing in its opposite. Otherwise, I won't be able to grasp it. Previously, when you talked about the Constitution, you said that it's a collection of different principles, rules that are supposed to lead humanity forward all the time. But because we don't understand what does it mean to advance or what to advance toward, we invent different laws that seem to us rational, as if from understanding nature, the entire system of how it works, the entire mechanism, and that is a truly foolish mistake. So you're saying that your ability to understand these laws is limited, and as a result, you have written the constitution that you have today. But there is a superior constitution that, unless you understand that, you won't be able to advance. Now, in this superior constitution, there are two, let's call it superior constitution, there are two principles, the force and its opposite, the one force and the opposite force that exists in me. How does that lead myself and society toward advancement? You're given different ways to live, develop, think, have different desires and calculations, and you're mistaken in all of them if you do not accept the condition of none else besides him, and you take this law as the law of your life, as a basic condition in life. That's it. I'm kind of perplexed. We said that we're living in the system of nature, and the real constitution is the one defined by nature, the general law or laws working in nature. Now, I want to understand, what did I learn? First of all, that we're inside the system of nature in which there's one comprehensive force acting. The second paragraph I didn't exactly understand, and I also didn't understand how are these things related to how we exist as people, nations, countries, and so on. Because to me our discussion sounded a bit philosophical, sometimes religious. No, not at all. In order to come to know the one force, I need the force that's opposite to it. Otherwise, I won't be able to get to know anything. I can't discern something if there isn't something that is its opposite, that's different from it. And so, in order to understand that there is one force, I need to have two forces. In order to have a good force, I need also the bad force. It works in all directions. I need a thing and its opposite. So, there is the one good, benevolent, infinite force, and so on. And against it, there has to be its opposite. meaning that the same qualities that exist in the one force have to also exist in the opposite force, and to the same extent, intensity, and everything. So much so that I'll mistake in one for the other. But eventually, I'll scrutinize what's in between them, and the one points at the other, as far as light excels darkness. The scrutiny of these two forces, does it happen inside a society? Does it have any expressions in our day-to-day life? And everything, including everything. In every state, our only problem is that we pay no attention to it. We don't understand how the forces of nature are playing with us in favor and against, in order for us to scrutinize this principle that there is none else besides Him and to adhere to Him, precisely by the help of the opposite force. A society or a country that advances according to the constitution of nature, what is it advancing towards? The truth that it identifies with. Well, theoretically speaking, because it doesn't exist. In the past, there was a short period during which the nation of Israel was in that, where they identified with the one force of nature because they discovered the opposite nature and distanced themselves from it, that you can't adhere to the one unless you reject the other. We, created beings, can only discern light from darkness, one out of the other. How is it expressed in the life of a society or a country? In each and everything, I have to discover good and bad, and then to know, why is this good? Because it is related to that upper force, and what is the bad? That the bad is revealed only in order for me to get to know the good upper force. And therefore it's called an angel. When we're talking about the force of good, the force of bad, what does it have to do with the relations between people, different denominations? I don't know. This entire world was created only in order for us to scrutinize the good from the bad, the food from the waste. Dr. Lightman, unfortunately, our time's up. We wanted to know, what is the Israeli constitution to discover the one force and adhere to it? That's it. Thank you very much. This raises many questions. We'll talk about this again. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Michael Leitman, on Quora. Could you tell me something about collective consciousness? Consciousness exists in the collective. We all exist in the collective consciousness similarly to how a holographic item, when it encounters light, seemingly divides a single light into different spectra. However, the extent to which we realize collective consciousness relies on the extent to which we input each of our individual thoughts and desires into it. While we each exist within collective consciousness, our comprehension depends on the extent of our engagement with such consciousness. Therefore, the holographic picture exists both on collective and individual scales, as we each potentially hold the entire collective picture within each of us, individually. Reaching awareness of collective consciousness requires opening ourselves up to the collective desire and thought that exists outside of our own individual desires and thoughts. We have the ability to pierce through our individualistic perceptions by connecting with others, that is, aiming to feel and fulfill their desires at least to the same extent as we each aim to fulfill our own desires. By conducting ourselves in such a manner, over time and through various states that make us face the boundary between our individualistic perceptions with the collective one, and also by organizing our environment to support our choice of the collective picture over our individualistic one time and again, we then gradually discover a wider world. We discover that wider world within our own thoughts and desires, that is, within us, but in that space, We feel and act toward the collective as if to ourselves. When we reach such a state, we realize pure harmony, happiness and the sensation of eternity. Life after death. Question: if a person knew their day of death, would they be able to live their life any better? Answer: it depends on the person. They say that Wolf Messing knew the day and the hour of his death and was at peace with it. Others are afraid of it. And there are people who believe so much in the continuation of life that, on the contrary, they consider death desirable. Question: do I need to prepare for death every day? Answer: no. We must prepare for life after death in order to continue our existence in the right way and in the same direction. Question: can a person be raised not to fear death? Answer: sure. First, all religions do this. Try to stop a suicide bomber who voluntarily chooses to die. He will be angry with you for not allowing him to go to paradise where beautiful virgins await him. Question: but there are very few such examples. Most people, even religious ones, are afraid of death. Answer: one should not be afraid of death. He should fear not wasting his life. Question: what is the correct attitude to death, in your opinion? Answer: as the biological cycle of a person comes to an end, he enters a different state, practically continuing the spiritual work that he may have started while living. From CAB TV's The Post Coronavirus Era, May 14, 2020. Money is the equivalent of our connection. Question: money is the language of communication between people. Will the world exist without money in the future? Answer: no. The concept of money will remain, but not in the sense of dollars or other pieces of paper, but in the form of an exchange of services between us, me to you and you to me. This is not material money, but support, reciprocity, and a good attitude to each other. Money, from the words kesef, lahasat, means covering. When I cover my egoistic inner core and relate to the other through an altruistic covering. In other words, money is what I can pay for my egoism so that it turns into the quality of bestowal and connection. Question: so money is the equivalent of our connection, which consists in the fact that I want to egoistically use other people, but I make efforts on myself, and cover my desire to use another person with them. Answer: yes. This is your good attitude over the evil attitude and it is called money. Question: so it turns out that there will be no paper money? Answer: I think that material money will be credited to each person and deducted from his account for a long time to come. But gradually it will begin to be replaced by shared connections. From CAB TV's The Post Coronavirus Era, June 4, 2020. Guide for Roundtables, Part 3. Stages of the Roundtables. Remark: before applying the roundtable methodology, you need to hold a workshop. Its goal is to create a warm, safe atmosphere, raise the importance of the discussion itself and the importance of the participants. My comment: indeed, this is very important. After all, we take simple, egoistic people who are trying to solve some problem from the point of view of egoism. And we need to convince them that they can solve the problem only by being integrally connected with each other above their egoism. The main thing is the task itself, not who solves it, because everyone is involved in this process. Participants need to reach a joint decision because it is the right one, and not because it is someone's individual decision, no matter how brilliant it may seem. In other words, before making any decisions, it is important to connect in feeling. Remark: the second stage, each member of the circle conducts a self-analysis of how much they are willing to participate in strengthening the connection of the entire group. The third stage is a sense of community and connection between the participants. Even if I haven't achieved it yet, I artificially show it to everyone else. They do not know I'm playing. The fourth stage, everyone tries to talk to the best of their abilities about the benefits and advantages of unity and interconnection because each individual would not be able to achieve the results and solve the tasks set. My comment, the most important thing is that everyone agrees that a joint decision will be the only correct one. Question. And the fifth stage, in a state of fullness of feelings, participants start directly discussing the topic and solving problems using the roundtable method. This is the difference between the integral method and the others because they immediately start solving some issues without first establishing communication. And without it, it is impossible. How long do you think this process might take? Is it possible to tune in like this in half an hour? Answer, hardly. I can't imagine that this could be done in a few months. But we must strive. We need to work on it. It depends on what people are talking about, on what topic, in what state they are initially. Let's say they are surgeons who have performed many operations. But now they have a patient with a seemingly unsolvable problem and they come to deplorable conclusions about their past attempts to solve it on their own. Then they realize that only by brainstorming together will they obviously be able to find some new solution. From CabTV's Management Skills, July 9, 2020. The impossibility to exist in the same framework. Question. We see that every next generation strives more for freedom, breaks the limits of life's restrictions, severs them. Where does this desire come from? Answer. Each next generation does not break the previous framework, but simply cannot exist in it because the generation itself is different. It has different desires, different egoism, different priorities. Therefore, it cannot fulfill the conditions and restrictions that the previous generations performed with pleasure or with minimal energy. Question. We see that the world is striving for greater interconnection. Integration is manifesting very strongly today. People move from place to place, privileges change, nations' borders become more open. In nature, there are trends toward greater freedom and fewer limits. Is there any contradiction in this? Answer, no. It is just that humanity is beginning to feel the next level of its development. Therefore, the previous framework no longer seems necessary. We believe that the new generation does not want our conditions, our laws. It is simply created with such desires that cannot comply with these conditions and feel them as necessary. From CabTV's Management Skills, July 2, 2020. Starting point in the development of humanity. Question. Which generations, in your opinion, can be distinguished as a starting point in the development of humanity? Answer. There are many such generations. Each generation determines something in humanity. As for the spiritual development of the world, it began with the construction of the first temple. However, it is not about its construction, but about the period when people began to seriously connect with each other and reveal the upper force, the Creator, in their connection. Question. Do you think that it was from this period, 1000 years BC, that the spiritual development of all humanity began? Answer. It began even earlier, in ancient Babylon. However, it became especially intense since the construction of the first temple. From CabTV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 21, 2020. Bringing all nations to unity. Remark, Baal-ha-Sulam wrote that the Torah was given to the people of Israel for improvement, however, here the people of Israel play the role of guides. My comment, Torah, from the word Orah, instruction, is a method of uniting. We do not need to do anything except correctly implementing in on ourselves and demonstrate to the peoples of the world how to apply it. Then everything will settle down and take its place. being guides means that once we connect properly with each other and begin to understand in detail how the control system works that influences our world from the upper world, called the Torah, we can do the same for the nations of the world. In this way, the system of the upper governance will begin to influence all of humanity through us. We all will become one single whole, controlled from above, and the world will reach its correct, perfect state. Question: looking at the world today, it is hard to imagine that Jews can be spiritual guides and give something to the world, except for such things like Hollywood, business, IT technologies. Can they really bring any moral values and change social relationships? Answer: to do this, we need to turn everything a little upside down, place everything as it should be. Kabbalists call for this, but no one is listening to them so far. According to Kabbalah, the world will experience tremendous suffering, falls, and crises in all directions at all levels until people understand what the cause of their ever-growing problems is and the people of Israel understand that everything that happens in the world depends on them. They are the source of all evil in the world. It does not mean they radiate evil from within themselves, but the people of Israel just do not bring the method of correction that leads to good into our world. This is their problem, and this is why the peoples of the world hate them. This will continue until all the nations of the world get together against the people of Israel and force them to think seriously about what Kabbalah has been saying for several thousand years now. Bring all peoples to the correct state, to connection between them. From CapTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, December 9, 2019. View from the second floor. Question: is there a punishment for the sins of a generation? Is there a concept that children should pay for the sins of their fathers? Answer: in general, yes. After all, we do not exist by ourselves, as we think. Usually, people believe that they can do whatever they want without realizing that they are within the framework of nature, which has its own laws. We gradually reveal these laws at the inanimate, vegetative, and animate levels. But at the human level, we cannot reveal them. We can only assume that they exist. The fact is that we look at inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature from the top down, and therefore, we can understand it and somehow manage it. And we can only look at other people at our level. We do not have a second floor from which we can look at them. Therefore, on a human level, we constantly make mistakes. We have nothing to compare with, we do not have a second floor to look from above to below. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, we must rise to the next level, called faith above reason, from which we will correctly see our earthly level and understand who we are and how we should behave. Question: where did the term descent, decline, or coarsening of generations come from? Answer: we see that each generation develops in its own egoism, which is becoming more sophisticated, multi-leveled, and complex. Therefore, it pulls us down. We must necessarily balance it by striving upward. We do not understand this yet. But in our time, we have already come to a state that allows us to understand how we can balance egoism and more or less influence our existence. Question: can we say that it is precisely the different level of egoism that is the cause of conflicts between generations? Answer: naturally. We are all selfish, but each one in one's own way. From the TV program The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 21, 2020. Who should I appeal to? Question: who should I appeal to if I have a request? Answer: to the Creator. The Creator is the upper light, the attribute of absolute goodness, love, and bestowal. There is nothing other than this force in the world. There is only me and him. Everything else that seems to exist, exists between me and the Creator. The moment I begin to correct myself, the distance between us changes accordingly, that is, changing attributes between me and the Creator. We, as it were, begin to draw closer to the point of complete adhesion with him. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, November 4, 2018.